Good morning. My name is Cameron Oliver. I'm a graduate student at Texas Tech University, and I would like to present my research to you, comparisons of yield components under three water regimes. So as an introduction, cotton yields have increased substantially over the past four decades in West Texas. Much of this increase has been due to management practices and biotechnology that have allowed the growth of crops with less pressure from insects and weeds. However, some of this difference is likely due to cultivar development and selection for the harsh West Texas environment. This experiment was conducted in order to see how yields have changed over the past four decades when influenced by different water regimes. This experiment will benefit us in the long run by helping us to determine which cultivars will best fit our particular region and then how to maximize those yields. So just as a little background information, in 2008, about 95% of the U.S. upland crop was planted in transgenic varieties, obviously BT and Roundup Ready. BT cotton was introduced in 1996, and it reduced the cost of insecticides used in the field because it's poisonous, obviously, to insects. Roundup Ready cotton was introduced in 1997, and it's resistant to the Roundup herbicide. This reduces the need for conventional tilling and tillage and hand hoeing. The herbicide is very cheap and benefits farmers in the long run by reducing costs. And especially in West Texas, where the farms are so large, it's very cheap to spray. So it helps growers with large areas. I'll be using the ET notation and for evapotranspiration. The objectives of this research was to determine if recent cultivars yield significantly more than their conventional counterparts from the past 40 years. We're trying to determine which yield components these yield differences can be attributed to, whether it be bull distribution, lint turnout, and differences perhaps in drought tolerance. So eight cultivars were used in this study. We wanted to use cultivars that shared similar pedigrees, and I chose these cultivars from what I considered to be some of the three largest companies, cottonseed producing companies. We used Phytogen 355, which was released in 2000, and it was paired with Phytogen 375. It was released in 2009, Fibromax 989 from 1998 to Fibromax 9180 in 2000. And Fibromax 958 in 2001 to Fibromax 2989 2012, and then again and Paymaster HS26 from 1986, which was our oldest cultivar, paired with Delta Pine 104, released in 2010. The experiment was conducted at two different locations. The first location was at the Texas Tech Quaker Research Farm, located in Lubbock, Texas. And the second research farm was located in New Deal, Texas, which is about 20 miles northeast of Lubbock. Both farms were irrigated with subsurface drip, 25 centimeters under every single row, with row spacings of 1 meter. Nitrogen was injected through the drip at 150 kilograms per hectare over the course of the season. The plot design was a split plot with irrigation as the main plot and cultivar as the split. Each treatment was replicated four times through the field. The three irrigation rates represented 40%, 60%, and 80% ET for the season, and that corresponds to 1.2 millimeters, 1.9 millimeters, and 2.4 millimeters per day, respectively. In-season data was taken that includes early and late season height, as well as nodes above white flower. Fiber quality will be analyzed, but is not present in this slideshow. And data collected from the Quaker Research Farm in Lubbock, Texas is also being analyzed, but is not present. 2012, it took quite a beating because of the severe drought we had. And then this year, 2013, we were hailed out and had to replant late. So they'll be analyzed and they'll be released in the publication, but they're not going to be presented today. At the end of the season, plots were box mapped. We went out into each plot and cut a meter from each plot. We took it back to the barn and individual bowls were placed in designated boxes for recording. So if you can see up here, they were labeled two boxes for each plot, and it went 5 through 10, and then the next box was 11 through 17. And this corresponds to node 5, node 6, node 7, on and on. And then going up the box was a position on the node. So this would be node 6, position 1, position 2. And that made it easy for when we were box picking and placing the bowls from every plant into each box, We had a computer program designed by Dr. Ritchie, and we were able to enter it in into the computer, generating a real-time graph, as well as allowing us to go back and analyze it through Microsoft Excel. So here's some of the results on height. Cultivars were not significantly different in height, but as expected, irrigation had significant influence on height. Obviously, the more irrigation, more water, the taller the plant would be. For yield, the highest mean yields were DP104, FM2989, and FM989. DP104 is an early season variety, while 2989 and 989 are mid to late season varieties. Phytogen 375 and Deltapine 104 both performed well at the 60% irrigation rate, which was the middle irrigation rate. Phytogen 375 again yielded higher at 60% than it did at 80%, possibly indicating that this cultivar may have some type of drought-tolerant properties. DP104 and FM989 performed well at the 40% irrigation rate, showing that it had adaptability throughout all irrigation rates. It performed well at the low, middle, and high irrigation. Both irrigation and variety were found to have a significant effect on seed cotton yield. So here's the bowl distribution, and these graphs were generated using the computer program that I mentioned, developed by Dr. Ritchie. FM2989 is a later season variety that allows it to put bowls on throughout the season. So that's represented the blue line, FM2989. It was able to carry bowls throughout the entire season, while Paymaster HS26, the red line, sets bowls very early. About node 5 and 6, 7 is the vast majority of its bowls. It sets those bowls early and then the plant just crashed. And this was on 80%, so that's high irrigation. So even with substantial amount of irrigation, it set bowls very quickly and then just crashed. Differences in bowl distribution were distinct among all the differing irrigation levels. So 60% ET, FM2989 and FM989 are able to produce bowls throughout the season on moderate irrigation. Again, we can see that from the graph, able to carry out the bowls throughout the entire season. Paymaster HS26 again put bowls on very early, about the same part of the plant, and then just sharply declined, shutting down for the rest of the season. 989 is included in this graph to show that it competes very well with a newer cultivar, 2989. It wasn't able to carry the bowl load throughout the season, but it still put on a substantial amount of bowls in the middle of the plant, middle to the upper part of the plant. 40% ET, Deltapine 104 and 989 performed well at this lowest irrigation rate. Phytogen 375 had lower bowl retention, which was shifted toward the bottom of the plant, as we see right here, the purple line, Phytogen 375. And even though Deltapine 104 produced more bowls in the middle of the plant, 989 was able to carry it out longer throughout the season. Paymaster HS26 was not included in this graph, but it followed the exact same pattern, setting bowls again very early and sharply decreasing, even more so because of the low irrigation. The bowl distribution charts, again, I had 8 different cultivars, but imagine 8 different colored lines up there on the chart trying to pick through it. It gets pretty messy and it's hard to see, so we decided we would like to just choose a couple of the varieties we thought were interesting and run with those. So results suggest that yield, bowl distribution, and plant height were greatly affected not only irrigation level but also by cultivar. Modern cultivars, as expected, perform better than historical cultivars at all irrigation levels, with the exception of Fibromax 989. Phytogen 375 produced a higher seed cotton yield at 60% than it did at 80%, suggesting that this cultivar has some drought-tolerant properties. Although the most recent cultivars yielded higher than the old cultivars, the differences were not as dramatic as we would have expected, suggesting that part of the difference in yield over the past 4 decades has been based on combination of management and technology. 2013 data, from just looking at it briefly, it follows the same trends, but everything was pushed a little bit higher in its bowl load. We got about 5 inches of rain in 2012 through the growing season, and then in 2013 we got about 10 to 11 inches of rain. So just the huge difference in rainfall pushed everything up just a little bit. I'd like to thank the Texas Tech Research Farm crew at Quaker and also the Texas Tech Crop Physiology crew. Without their help, it would not have been possible for me to have conducted this research. I'd also like to thank my family, who also played a huge role in helping me harvest and box map late into the evenings. And thank you to Jacob Reef, my boss at Phytogen, for allowing me to take time off to go and conduct this research. Thank you very much. Here's a couple citations, and I'll open it up to questions.
We have time. Time for a few questions.
Yes, sir.
Are you going to continue to do some more work on this project?
Do what now?
Same project you keep doing
some more? I'm sorry. Yes, it was the research was conducted last year and this year. This will be the last year of that research.
Any others? I have a question.
Okay.
And for box mapping, that 1 meter sample seems to be inadequate.
Not accurate?
Not adequate to...
Oh, not adequate. Okay.
The original box mapping was done at Mississippi State. They were using a minimum of 2 meters. So that you can get a good representative sample.
Okay.
Right. So 1 meter is not a good, not an adequate sample.
Thank you.
Any others? Thank you.
Thank you.